To talk about that, we're joined now on the air by Dr. Deb Strowman, longtime sports commentator, women's basketball star, and UNC professor as well. Dr. Strowman, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I'll tell you, Aaron, this is not a new topic. It's just a matter of time that the sport industry would get highlighted for various allegations, cases of sexual assault, sexual violence. The relationship between athletes and sexual assault is a decades-old discussion, at least since the 1980s. But we've had some high-profile rape cases involving famous athletes happen, which has caused some of the researchers, their work that's been going on for years, to finally get more attention. But certainly, just in the past few years, everything from Tennessee, Knoxville, Florida State, Oregon, of course, the big Baylor case, people are questioning whether or not, in particular team sports where you have lots of violence and collisions, in particular football and soccer, whether or not that really is related to misbehavior off the field.
And I'm thinking about kind of individuals or sports stars who have been not just accused of sexual assault, sexual misconduct, harassment, but in some cases actually filmed on tape having done it. I'm thinking about Ray Rice. I'm thinking about Kobe Bryant faced rape charges. Mike Tyson was accused, charged, and convicted. O.J. Simpson, of course, most obviously, and you can just go on and on and on with the list. And a lot of those people, having faced those charges, still have, not only still have careers, but didn't, but today in our culture that is actually taking these concerns seriously now to a degree that we never had before, those names aren't really coming up. And talking about this with different people in the context of other known sexual harassers in popular culture and in the news, people like Woody Allen, people like Roman Polanski, who are just kind of skating through this. And I almost wonder, I don't almost wonder, I do wonder if it's because the allegations with people like this are not new, that there are no consequences.
Well, I think what we're talking about is the ability, the confidence of someone to address power. Mm-hmm. And power is very sexy. It's very attractive. It gives you a lot of things. There is no doubt when you have Hollywood that's on fire, so to speak, with this, the power dynamic there is just unbelievable. And it also is true in sport. But only since the NFL Network suspended former players, and I mean great players like Marshall Faulk, mm-hmm. and a few others, looking into a sexual misconduct lawsuit, did we see a lot of news on the number one sports platform, which is ESPN, and its many, many channels and different forms. But we've had some other executives within the sports leagues who have been accused. Mm-hmm. More recently, we had Stacia Rabatelli. She's the wife of a Hockey Hall of Famer, Luke. She claimed that President Trump made some aggressive advances towards her in an elevator in Madison Square Garden. So these things, it's definitely a blending across different markets and different places of employment, but it takes that superstar. And then, of course, the biggest one in sport has been NFL former quarterback Warren Moon, Hall of Fame player for 17 seasons in the league. And the person is making claims that as his executive assistant for his sport marketing company, that he did everything from sexual advances to even slipping a drug into her drink. So definitely it's about power. Mm-hmm. Certainly some people, to your point, will just kind of brush it off as that's how those people act. But now I think with the Women's March and then having people come out boldly against President Trump, more people are using this momentum from Hollywood and Harvey Weinstein that now is the time to take action, as in seize the moment. And a lot of people fairly or not, are now questioning, well, what did I do in the past? Is there going to be some woman who's going to make an accusation against me? It's probably a very challenging time for a lot of guys who have a lot of power in terms of, was their innocent flirtation now going to be shifted into an accusation of sexual assault? And then, of course, I would definitely say that the guilty ones, the ones who definitely had bad behavior and need to be penalized and possibly prosecuted, they definitely are on alert and need to be brought to justice.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, again, UNC professor, sports commentator, we're talking about sexual violence and sexual harassment, specifically in the sports world. There's one major, major case that just actually got resolved with a guilty plea and a long prison sentence that we haven't mentioned yet, which is USA Gymnastics, the team doctor, Larry Nassar, who sexually assaulted generations of female gymnasts and never got reported, talked about among gymnasts, but no one ever felt comfortable or confident going forward. And that speaks to exactly what you said, that power dynamic, that if I come forward with something, is anyone going to believe me? Is there going to be backlash? He is supported by this entire power structure, which includes a number of people in the specific world of women's gymnastics that don't have particularly great track records themselves, thinking about Bella Caroli, right, who also has his own long, long litany of charges against him. And just the sheer number of years that it takes for even really egregious charges like that to come forward, and how many, many people have to be directly affected before it even comes out in the open at all, says some really, really disturbing things about the number of serious incidents that are not getting reported even today, even now.
And gymnastics is just one, but I remember reading about and even seeing a documentary on the same type of abuses among swimmers, that there's a lot of ugliness taking place with our youth swimming teams and how coaches are taking advantage of our young people, girls and boys. The other thing I want to mention in this is the relationship between participation in sports and alcoholism and sexual violence and harassment. Mm-hmm. Alcohol plays a big part of this. Everything, I mean, as we know, for people who drink, it tends to give you a little bit more confidence. Certainly there are those who shut down and fall asleep after they've had a drink or two. But more often than not, people get more bolder in parties, in events. They might even approach someone that they would normally not approach. But there is a lot of research around that. There was an article in the Journal of Science and Medicine looking at the participation in collegiate sports, sport-related fraternities and sexual assault. Again, this idea with fraternities having that aggression and then coupled with having a few parties afterwards where you get that nature of, I can do anything. I can now approach a woman in a ways that I would not normally do if I were sober. So at this point, we have more than 160 higher education institutions under investigation by the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights for sexual violence. If that is not an alarm to wake up America in how we interact with one another, how we show respect with one another, and how we are civil, I don't know what else we could do.
That's such a staggering number. Do you see things actually changing, or is what we're seeing now just a different iteration of the same old story?
I think it's a different iteration. Sadly, we need to have, and I'm not pointing fingers at men in power, but we need to have more women at the table, or women actually holding the big stick to address this, because I'd imagine that it's very uncomfortable for some men, not all male leaders, but certainly some men, to consider their history and their background, and now they are a decision maker who might say, we need to go ahead and pull the lever and start investigating people. Whether or not it would be a false claim or whether or not they did something, again, an innocent flirtation, that might be construed as someone who had bad behavior worth being prosecuted. So this is not new with the dynamic of human sexuality. This is something that's going to continue, but we need more leadership, more coaches, more administrators, more politicians who will say, we have to stop this. We have to change the climate, certainly in America, in terms of how we view women. They're not sexual objects. I've always stated that I believe that a woman should be able to walk down the street naked, as crazy as that might seem, mm-hmm. and unpopular or immoral. But a woman should be able to walk down the street naked and not be sexually violated. We have to have a better spirit around how we respect and honor one another.
And this starts with, I mean, we're hearing now all of these stories and the fact that we're taking them more seriously now than we ever did is a step in the right direction. But it's not the ideal because all of these things have already happened. What you've got to do is begin with education at a very young age, teaching people that this is, teaching boys in particular, but people in general, that this is not okay. And you mentioned coaches. That's where coaches come in. You mentioned public figures, athletes who have that huge platform and that giant microphone that you've mentioned on a number of occasions can be such a force for good in the world. This is an opportunity. This is the opportunity for athletes, public figures, coaches, people in prominence in the world of sports to step up and use that platform.
You're absolutely right. And I've been around male coaches who, as part of their teaching, besides the X's and O's and techniques of how to perform your sport well, but who will also have sessions on you respect and honor women. Because of the nature of our sport, there's an expectation that we're guys, we're jerks, we're pigs, and we're not going to have that on our team. You honor and you respect the girls and the women that you meet like they're your mother. And I'd love to see that type of education taking place with our young people. I think another point to note is that, sadly, until President Trump is either called to task, brought to investigation, or even prosecuted for his bad behavior, mm-hmm. This will still be a question mark in our country. Certainly, we have a number of politicians who resigned or admitted their mistreatment of women. But to me, it really starts and ends in the White House. Because that is one of the most important role models and leaders, arguably the number one leader in the world, right? And so that behavior has to be something that we can all look to in aspirational ways to say, look at how our president treats women.
We're going to leave it there. Dr. Deb Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.